afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Wednesday, April 19th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
We have Wendy Wilson joining us this afternoon for the first segment of the program, as she does each and every Wednesday. But first, before we say hello to Wendy, I am going to give you the market report. And there was a little bit of pressure on gold today, and I decided I usually don't follow options and the expirations. I don't dabble in that, so I don't follow it. But I saw the pressure on gold today, and I thought to myself, I bet this week is options expiration. And absolutely it is. So, and usually, not all the time, but most of the time, you can have a little bit of pressure on the precious metals during this time. And that's exactly what we saw today. So gold was down $9.30 at $1,280.90. Silver was down 13 cents at $18.22. Platinum was down 9 at 969. And palladium was up 4 at 780. The USDX today was up 0.29 at 99.80. Crude oil was down 1.95 at 50.46. In the paper markets today, pressure on the Dow, 120 to the downside at 20,403. However, the NASDAQ managed to be up 13 points, 5,863. The S&P took a reversal of 4 points, that's 2338. The 10-year yield, 2.20%, that was up 0.02. And the euro was down slightly at 107. And as long as it's staying at this number, I'll continue to report it. The fear and greed index is still showing at 30, so no move to the up or downside on that one. So still a lot of fear, still no panic, and we'll see when it eventually begins to filter through the paper markets. So Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Al.
Hello, Wendy.
I've been hearing from the listeners out there. They like our little tete-a-tete here with the health report, so this is good. I'm glad to hear that.
Good.
Yep, so am I.
Well, I thought we'd talk about the antibiotics being a kind of a time bomb. They're more detrimental now, science is saying, than they originally thought. So over a million antibiotics prescriptions were dispensed in 2014, according to the CDC, and they reported about 30% of those prescriptions were for outpatient treatment, but were unnecessary. They also said that, according to Oregon State University Medical Research Foundation, about 40% of adults and 70% of the children take at least one antibiotic per year, and 10% of those folks have adverse reactions. So research teams have now said antibiotic use has a broader impact on the human body than they previously thought. Here's a quote from Audrey Morgan, professor at Oregon State University College of Pharmacy, and she says, "Just in the past decade, a whole new universe has opened up about the far-reaching effect of antibiotic use and how we're exploring it. Nothing we find will surprise me at this point," end of quote. So according to the Oregon State study, which was published in the February 2015 Journal of Gut, they found when animals are given the antibiotics, they have this unwanted impact on the friendly flora bacteria called the microorganisms. And science has known for some time antibiotics do upset our digestive floras. But the research helped explain to them in more detail what happens next, which affects the human immune system, your blood glucose, food absorption ability, obesity rates, stress, and behavior. So they said patients that are even on long-term antibiotic therapy can experience some far-reaching complications. And what's interesting is doctors are not connecting the dots that the drugs they're on are creating these other health issues for them. So when they explored the microbiology of it all those gut floras, the friendly ones, when they get disrupted, it has an impact on the immune system function. According to Professor Morgan, she says this is just the beginning. and it offers about a third of the damage. She says the antibiotics go on to destroy the digestive tissue itself, called the intestinal epithelium. And she says it's responsible, this part of the digestive system is responsible for nutrient absorption. So after there's this cell death of the colon tissue, she says, the destruction leads to changes in cell DNA. So they have this mitochondrial impact, and what happens is it affects the communication ability of your cells in the mitochondria, and that part of the cell is responsible for promoting energy, cell growth, and regeneration. So if the condition increases, a patient can risk things like bowel cancer, she said, and other diseases that physicians aren't even aware of the connection. So according to her, antibiotic use encourages digestive dysfunction, things like diarrhea, ulcerative colitis, but she says the new research is showing them that antibiotics have this broad effect with regard to things like obesity, depression, immune system malfunction, food absorption, allergies, asthma, and sepsis, which is blood poisoning. Did you think that antibiotics would do all that, Al?
No, I'm quite amazed that they can pack that much punch in one little bitty pill.
Well, you know,
and actually what you're telling us is that if we take the antibiotics, they actually make us more susceptible to disease.
Yeah, that's what they're finding, which, you know, science is kind of upset about this. They, they had no clue.
Yeah, it's bad for business.
Well, at the Society for General Microbiology published research in November 2010 in the Journal of Microbiology, and back then they reported antibiotics caused not only bacterial resistance but also resistant genes. They stated that an individual on a short course of antibiotics, just 7 days, will have what they called antibiotic-resistant genes in their system for a minimum of 2 years. According to Dr. Cecilia Jernenberg, Swedish Institute of Infectious Disease Control, she says, antibiotics have an impact on the normal microbial flora of the human gut and can alter the composition of the microbial populations, potentially leading to other diseases. The consequences of this could be potentially life-threatening, end of quote. Which, you know, that's incredibly profound statement. You know, when you're taking, you know, these wonder drugs that we were told for years, you know, eliminated the threat of bacterial infections, and here you are. You may have stayed off the initial infection, but now you've got something else.
Well, we're really, I'm not even sure when we talk about antibiotic, are we actually destroying any kind of virus or whatever that's a bacteria that's afflicting us, or are we simply suppressing symptoms for a while?
Well, actually, antibiotic means against life. So it's out to destroy all living bacterial element. And it's not discriminative, so it'll get the good and the bad. So this is the problem. It may kill off the bacterial infection that's got you sick, but then it's killing off the good floras and the lining of your intestine. Because
keep you well.
Yeah. And so... Stanford University Medical Center in 2013, they reported on how the antibiotics deplete the gut floras within just 24 hours, and it permits at least two potentially deadly pathogens to get a foothold. So according to them, your gut floras are quite complex, and thousands of bacterial strains are there to provide what they call a nutrient-rich environment. Now, I had no idea when I read this report that your good friendly flora bacteria actually manufacture for you in your digestive system vitamins. They provide also immune system support and also assist in digestive tissues. So your antibiotics, they say, destroy this environment very quickly. But the body can rebuild it, the environment, but it can take weeks or months. Now, Dr. Sonnenberg reports that there are also residual and permanent damage that's done to the gut tissue that she says is not reversible. So the pathogens that we're going to be vulnerable to are Salmonella and the Clostridium bacterial infections. So these conditions can lead to inflammation conditions, obviously digestive problems, and make us more vulnerable to parasites. So he went on to explain that the antibiotics affect that mucosal lining of the digestive system that creates this vulnerability to other toxins, and it could even infect our blood system, which I find very disturbing.
I agree. It's scary.
It is.
I mean, this is the sort of thing, it's like finding out that there's something wrong with mother's milk.
Right.
Right?
I know.
This
I
is
know.
Something that sets you back and you say, oh my God.
Right, right. Well, now research done by the BBC reported in Nurses Health Study, and they said patients who are taking antibiotics for longer than 15 days will increase the risk of colon polyps by 36%. So patients that are on long-term antibiotic treatment increase their risk by 69%. And their report was in the Journal of Digestive Diseases and Sciences, and similar findings were published in 2016 where they were stating the antibiotics create this increased risk in colorectal cancers. But now, according to the Elevir Health Science study, they were looking at the cause of gluten intolerance, right? And the celiac disease, where people can't have, you know, bread. And so science has thought that it was an allergic reaction or an immune system response that has gone haywire. But celiac disease affects 1% of the U.S. population. But experts are saying there may be more to it, and there may be more undiagnosed people than we think. So the people that are suffering from this type of disease can't tolerate the protein and gluten often in your wheat, rye, and barley. So the problem seems to involve, here we go, the lining of the small intestine, in which symptoms of bloating, diarrhea, nausea, vomiting, and constipation can result. Now, scientists are now thinking maybe it's the antibiotic use that has contributed to this disease. Wow.
You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like the patent is about to expire on antibiotics, and they're going to finish these off and start something new.
Well, I know, and then some people out there are saying, well, you know, thank God I don't take those type of medicines. Well, animals do. Animal husbandry pumps more antibiotics into the animals than they do the humans. By far.
You're starting to scare me now. You understand that?
Well, okay, so the country that dispenses the most antibiotics into their animals is China, followed by the United States. After that, Greece, Brazil, the UK, India, Thailand, Germany, Spain, Mexico, Canada, Russia, and France all, you know, infect their animals with antibiotics. Now, Denmark, on the other hand, has the lowest rating of antibiotic use with their animals. But here's something you'll find interesting, Al. An astonishing find was this report when they were looking at antibiotics and growth hormones that they add to the livestock these days, you know, because they wanted to make them weigh more, so they went to market, they could get more money. Well, here's the thing. They looked back in the 1980s, before a lot of the growth hormones were implemented, and they were checking out the average weight of your cows, chickens, and your pigs. And they compared it to today. And guess what? Cattle today were found to weigh an average of 4% less, chickens 3.3% less, and pigs 8% less. So what's up with the growth hormones then?
I understand. The other question is, mm-hmm. Are these growth hormones and these antibiotics we give in the animals, are we exposed to them when we eat the steak? We eat that, or are these going down into the water supply?
Both, actually. You are exposed to them in the tissue of the animal. Uh-huh. Actually, especially milk products, they've actually analyzed milk and they've found like 6 different drugs in it. So, and by the way,
you're going to need a prescription to get a gallon of milk here before it gives.
Well, here's the thing. It, you might be saying, well, I'm not a milk drinker. Well, you may be putting cheese on your sandwich, and that's 10 times the concentration of milk. Don't forget yogurt, you know. So on average in the animal husbandry area, they're giving animals 10 plus different types of antibiotics. 10. Okay. And some of them are glucoside-based, which means they're amino-modified sugars. And a lot of them are gram-negative agents. So, but here's the other thing. If you think getting antibiotics for your for your bacterial infections, and then eating animals with all these antibiotics in them is not enough. They're putting antibiotics in vaccines. Okay? So according to the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, some vaccines have antibiotics, and some people are allergic to certain antibiotics, and they can have a reaction of hives, swelling of the throat, and low blood pressure should they get one of those vaccines. So the common antibiotics in the vaccines are neomycin, polymyxin B, streptomycin, and gentamicin. And you're going to find those in your MMR, which is your measles, mumps, rubella. You're going to find it in the chickenpox vaccine, the meningitis B vaccine. You're going to find it in the shingles vaccine, rabies, influenza, polio, and DPT, and hepatitis A and B vaccines. So, you know, you're going to get them. Yeah.
Do we have any information on colloidal silver, which is an antibiotic, but it's not derived from petroleum products or whatever? Right. Does it have the same effect as streptomycin, for example?
To some strains of bacteria, it's very, very effective. But you want to use colloidal silver sparingly. If you overuse it, you can turn your skin pigment an irreversible gray color.
Yeah, okay. I've seen people who've done it. I even know a guy who did it.
Yeah. You know, there's just other ways to deal with bacterial infections. We have a lot of strong herbs that are safe to use for bacterial infections, and they help the immune system fight it and then coat an antibody for it. Also, you can get rid of these pharmaceutical residues and heavy metals through herbal cleansing and encourage a repair. A lot of herbs help the skin cells repair. So we have options. We have immune boosting. We have things for infections. We have powerful herb formulas, you know, God gave us.
If we are going to, if antibiotics, as a general rule, are at least dangerous, at least they have adverse consequences some of the time, what about probiotics? Does it make sense to be taking probiotics that increase the flora in your gut and in your digestive tract? And would that likely increase our immune system strength?
Yeah, you just got to be selective with probiotics. Some people react very severely to them. Your probiotic products aren't going to have all of the species of bacteria. Mm-hmm. So I find that the probiotics that are refrigerated are going to be better. So, I've heard a lot of people have bad things to say about the probiotics in some yogurts like Activia because it's a lab-created probiotic. It's not a natural type of bacteria.
Okay, give us a little contact information, Wendy.
All right, so they can call the folks at Apothecary Herbs to give them some assistance, and you can call and get a catalog, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663, or visit us at thepowerherbs.com.
Thank you, Wendy. Look forward to talking to you next Wednesday. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Our guest, Wendy Wilson, thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. We'll be back next Wednesday, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, there's so many things that are going on, so many crazy things that are going on, and whether they're fake news, real news,
it doesn't matter.
It's just all fun news. But one thing that will be happening is pretty soon, I believe April 28th, the government will need to avoid a shutdown. And there may be only one way that Paul Ryan can avoid a government shutdown, and he's got to go to Nancy Pelosi for help. Now, if you think those two, you don't see those two getting along.
Talk about strange bedfellows. This is one of those political moments where, yeah, it is pretty weird.
But he's going to need her help in order to avoid this. On issues like spending, Republicans will need Democratic votes even in the House, and that's because a sizable group of GOP conservatives led by the House Freedom Caucus are expected to oppose the spending measure currently being negotiated in bipartisan closed-door talks. That just irritates. Anytime I see closed door talks in private and so forth. But there is a 30-year difference between Ryan and Pelosi. I mean, we all know the problems Pelosi gives and, you know, the Democrats and so forth. So he's probably heck out of luck to try to get anything done. But he's going to have to decide whether to immediately get behind the bipartisan bill that's backed by the House Democrats, or first try to push through a more partisan version, relying almost entirely on Republican votes. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas appears to publicly be bracing for a fight. Cruz this week told reporters he's concerned about the spending bill. He thinks Chuck Schumer and the Democrats want a shutdown. So Congress will be returning next week from a two-week recess, which, if this was such a big deal, if this was so important about the government shutdown, mm-hmm. why in the world would Congress even go for a two-week recess? But Ryan still has to decide whether the House Republicans will go along with funding a Mexican border wall that Trump wants, and whether or not to include language to defund so-called sanctuary cities that decline to enforce some immigration laws. Both are policy writers that Democrats have said would prompt them to oppose the spending bill. So on Tuesday, members on both sides of the political aisle were predicting Congress will pass a short-term stopgap extension of the current spending levels for another week or so to allow more time for negotiating. So,
well, this is a good thing to there's no point in doing the job if all you have to do, you can kick the can down the road for another week or two. It's all doesn't interfere with the vacation, and that's what's important. Keep your eye on the prize. Get that vacation. Don't allow reality to interfere. My understanding that they'll be back, they'll have 4 days from when they return from vacation until the 28th, and 4 days to negotiate a deal. My guess is they've already got a deal in the wings. They'll posture one way or another. Some people say, I don't want it. Some people say, we do want a deal. But they've got something that's probably going to Probably, you know, if it's just the extension, everybody will agree, all right, fine, we're not going to talk about it anymore. In April, we'll get it in May. Maybe May 15th, I don't know.
Well, it just depends on how long they have to bribe somebody for going along with something and so forth. But yeah, they probably already have something in the works. But it is interesting because as much as the Democrats hate this administration, are they willing to take it to the point to where they shut it down?
I don't know. Yeah, I wouldn't think the Democrats, to me, would be the last people who are going to shut down the government. Most people who are Democrats, to my mind, I wouldn't be any, maybe most isn't the proper term, but a lot of people who are Democrats are dependent on government entitlements. I'm going to guess that if they really shut it down, some of those entitlements may be withheld.
Well, first,
there may be a problem with that. I'm not sure if that's true, but the Democrats, I think, are more likely to be dependent on government than the Republicans. Therefore, the Democrats shouldn't want to shut the government down. I myself, shutting the government down, they make it sound like a bad thing. I'm mystified by that. You know, I'm saying, this might be okay.
When they shut down the government, they don't stop cutting the checks. What they'll do is they'll cut back on the parks and recreation, they'll cut back on, you know, the various departments, you know, the people that really don't, you know, and it's probably people they could probably stay gone forever, you know, and they'd never be missed. So they'll cut back departments and so forth that won't have any impact on the checks. The checks will be the last.
It has impact on the checks that are going to government employees, though, true.
Pardon?
It has impact on the checks that are going to government employees in the sense that some of them in parks and recreation, are going to be laid off.
They'd be laid off.
All right, so it's just another
form
of welfare.
But I'm talking about the check. I'm talking about the other check. Not employee checks was not what I was referencing when you were saying, you know, people are depending on checks. You know, I'm talking about Social Security, welfare. I'm talking about those kind of the checks that they will keep paying. They'll keep funding those and cut in other areas and so forth. But
speaking of how you and I were viewing this from different perspectives, you were laughing at me yesterday, Melody, and disparaging my research that indicated we might not have an armada approaching Korea, which we supposedly had. And here's another report today. This is from International Business Times, and they say embarrassment for Trump as warships intended for North Korea still thousands of miles away. Turns out that story was apparently true. The U.S. aircraft carrier the Navy claimed was headed toward the Korean Peninsula amid rising tensions in the region was in fact still thousands of miles away. According to a U.S. officer, the USS Carl Vinson supercarrier and its naval strike group were said to be heading toward North Korea on April 8th. The move was billed as a demonstration of President Donald Trump's willingness to be tough with Pyongyang. However, the vessels were pictured in the Sunda Strait in the Indian Ocean off Indonesia on Saturday, according to a defense official confirmed to the Associated Press that the ships have not yet started their trip to Korea. They're going to be headed north toward the Sea of Japan within the next 24 hours, however, the official said, on condition of anonymity. So now, those of you that are concerned, now you know the truth. You may have thought they were going there during this last week. No, that wasn't true. But now they tell us they're going to be going there in the next 24 hours.
Well, you know,
headed
this story,
take them several days to get there.
You might, you know, you can, look at this lightly and so forth. However, to me, this is very dangerous. When you're dealing with a country like North Korea, who's ready to push the button if he truly has the nuclear weapons, and if he's thinking that he's got this, you know, all these aircraft carriers coming to his areas to blow him out of the water, that would initiate him to maybe start something first. You know, he might begin to defend, and that's dangerous. And when you have the President of the United States, when you had McMaster's, and I can't think of the other guy, these three top officials making announcements and statements to the press that these were heading over to the Korean waters, and they don't know anything about it, that They didn't know that these ships were not headed, that these vessels were not headed to where they thought they were going?
Well, the whole thing is bizarre because Trump, as soon as he said, we're sending an armada, everybody said, yeah, buddy. All right. Or not everybody, but a lot of people said, yeah, buddy. And Trump was doing something forceful. All right. Whether you like him, you don't like him, he was at least reacting now. He wasn't pussyfooting around. We had people in Congress saying, you need to get permission from the Congress before you can do this thing. And Trump isn't even doing anything. He's just talking about it, but it can't look good for him. It can't sit back. Trump is threatening to send an armada, only
he
didn't.
He wasn't threatening. He made a statement that they
were
sending.
No, I know. He said it was on its way.
They were sending there, and it's a big deal. It wasn't, well, maybe we'll think about it.
Well, the,
so
and now,
now you, so, and you had McMaster's. He confirmed it. And who's the other guy? I can't think of his, you know, and I should. The other guy confirmed it. Two top officials along with Trump. It just wasn't a matter of acting tough.
I know, it's just bizarre. It's just bizarre. And the premier of North Korea is going to use this as evidence that Trump is afraid of him.
And
this is going to increase the bluster coming out of Kim Jong-un.
But if the North Korean Kim thought that this, if this was real and he thought he was being threatened with these vessels, he could have very easily initiated something. So, no, I mean, to me, this was a very dangerous situation.
I agree.
And
this
I'll
was
tell
irrational.
You,
this
Trump
is, this is a crazy idea.
Lucked out that nothing happened.
So far.
So,
it is, when you start fooling around
yourself
with nuclear weapons, you got to be, look, I don't think it's a time to pull little tricks or, oh, we said, we were just joking when we said we're sending them out. I mean, when nuclear weapons are involved, it seems to me that everybody's got to be disciplined and you got to be right on the money. You can't be, it's not something for, you know, someone who's on drugs or whatever. You got to be, this is important.
I mean, my point was, this wasn't some aid, you know, down on level tier 20 that said, oh, we might. I mean, this was the President of the United States.
I know.
This was McMaster's. These are head of the of our military. And it really is. It, to me, it's shocking.
I know.
And
I know.
Dangerous.
It's a bizarre. Just, has there
How
ever been another
have
story
that type
like
of
this?
Miscommunication.
Can't
How
be miscommunication.
You?
Somebody's doing this intentionally. You don't accidentally say, I mean,
no,
somebody either said or they did not say, move those ships to Korea. And it was somebody like the president or the chief of staff or somebody, and they gave that order. And somebody said, okay, we'll get to it. You know, you just wait, take a seat, wait out there, and we'll move that ship another week or two. Don't worry about it. It was supposed to be moving now. And now we find out no one. And how is it that Trump didn't know or didn't care?
No, it wasn't even him. It was his military officers that didn't know.
Well, and they didn't tell him, apparently. I don't know whether they told him or they didn't tell him. But, I mean, if I was Trump, I'd be steaming. I would be angry. When I tell that ship to move, you move now. You're not waiting for your convenience. You turn that ship, headed for Korea, and it better be there in 4 days. That didn't happen. What's going on here? Plus, they didn't even tell. Either Trump knew or he didn't know. If he didn't know, what's wrong with the chain of command? If he did know, what is he thinking of? This is, you know, I've been a Trump fan and the rest of that sort of thing, but I don't know. This is just bizarre. I'm trying to think, have I ever heard of a serious situation like this before? This is a little bit like the Cuban Missile Crisis back about 1964. In the 1960s, I don't recall clearly which year, but the Cuban Missile Crisis, and then you find out we have these reports about ships and missiles and the rest of this, and it turns out actually there's nothing going on. The only thing is it's a Carnival liner, cruise liner, that's sailing past Cuba. That's all we've really got to deal with. It's nutty. It's insane. It's just bizarre. And how will it be explained?
I don't know, but you would think somehow this does have to be I mean, it's bizarre. And I don't know. It's so dangerous. And it's I tried to give this administration, you know, the benefit of the doubt, but it's becoming more and more difficult to do so. And if you really looked at the 100 days of Trump being in office, he really hasn't done, you know, up until of late, you know, it wasn't that bad. But it just seems to continue to get worse. People, you can think that there might be some sort of a deep state issues going on.
What about fake news? That's a big issue for Trump. All right, he doesn't like the fake news. He complains about the fake news. What are the reports that are apparently emanating from the White House that this armada is headed for Korea?
What's coming
is that
this
fake
map?
News?
Well,
and there's another point behind this. There is a point. There's something about this that is disrespectful of the American people. When you are sending an armada someplace and potentially to get involved in war, it seems to me that you have an obligation to tell the American people what you're doing and not just sit back and say, we'll get to it. You know, I told I was sending it right now, but it'll be another week or two. We'll get to it. Don't worry about it. There's an element of, look, you got to respect the people. This is important news. Somebody should be telling us the truth, and we are just beginning to get that truth, apparently, just in the last 24, 36 hours, begin to find out, the armada is not, it's down around Sumatra or someplace, and it is Indonesia, and it's not at North Korea. Problem. Surprising.
Another disturbing.
It's incomprehensible.
Yeah. And again, the comments, the announcements didn't come from, you know, people who didn't matter. And that's. There was another story that was floating around about the, Trump tweeted and called Erdogan in Turkey and congratulated on his win. And they went back to an interview with Trump and Steve Bannon. I think it was 2015. And Steve Bannon asked him about Turkey, and Trump said that, you know, Turkey's a great place, the leader is great. He has two Trump towers in Istanbul, and that he does have a conflict of interest. Now, I'm thinking to myself, why would you even admit that while you're campaigning for president? Admitting, and after he was elected, I've told people, if they get rid of him, it's going to be through impeachment, through a conflict of interest. That's how they will, they're not going to eliminate him. They will impeach him through that conflict of interest.
Well, we'll have to talk more about the conflict of interest when we return, Melody. It's time for commercials. So we have a conflict of interest now. To talk or to listen to the commercials, which I guess we'll listen to the commercials. We'll be back in a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
We still got some great pricing on Mint State 62 St. Gaudens. Still selling those at one ounce American Gold Eagle prices. So you can buy Mint State 62 beautiful St. Gaudens. Certified NGC PCGS gives you privacy, protection, performance, a tremendous value when you can buy it at 1 ounce American Eagle prices. So give us a call, folks, at 1-800-375-4188. And yesterday today I was doing a comparison with one of the online sellers. And yesterday, when I was checking prices, they were basically selling their silver rounds at wholesale prices. We mentioned it a little bit during yesterday's program. Today, I went back to check again, and now they're totally different. And now they're basically selling them at my prices. And it's like, how can you do that? We called them. We got their prices for the 1 ounce silver rounds. They don't sell anything less than 100. You don't find that on the website. If you buy less than 100, then they add additional fees and shipping and all that onto it. So, you know, you just have to be careful in these online dealers, and you know, you don't always see the fine print. I shop prices online all the time. Very few prices online are lower than mine. I shop, I price, I compete with the online sellers. Now, unless they sell them at wholesale, no, I'm not going to match wholesale prices. But we still do match legitimate pricing. If I can do it, I will. So make sure you give us a try. Give me a call. Talk to me about it. And another thing that this person or this online, it is Colorado Gold, it is who it is. They have on there, we don't charge, if you buy the coins from us, we don't charge you a commission when you sell it back. I don't know anyone in this country, I don't know anyone in the world that does business for nothing. Absolutely nothing. And how do you know, when somebody tells you they're not going to charge you a commission when you sell it back to them, how do you know they're not? They're going to quote you a price. How do you know that's the going rate? How do you know that's the actual bid price? So again, you know, they can quote you a price, this is what we'll buy it back for, but we're not charging you a commission. And then they can turn around, sell it into the market, and make a few percent. So you really don't know. So give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. And I didn't know if you wanted to continue any more about that conflict of interest. Don't know if that's going to head anywhere with the Trump administration.
It'll be something that's bound to come up. It'll be a fundamental issue before he leaves office, that's for sure.
I don't believe whether
it's going to come up soon, or they'll just, you know, keep it, just kind of attach that tin can to Trump's tail and let him drag it around with him for a couple of years. I don't know.
And another thing I wanted to mention about this health care, they're trying to revive that. They're trying to do something with that before the tax cuts, before they attack or change the tax reduction. Well, the only reason they can't do the tax reduction prior to the health care is because there's no money. They can't afford to do it. And I'm thinking to myself, that's why it's so important that they do this health care first, because they have to drum up some money in order to pay for the tax cuts that they want to propose. So again, it's another sign that how healthy is this country? How close are we to a true government collapse or currency reset? We're probably closer than any of you think we are. And but that's, you know, that's just the way I read that. They need to free up some funds from the Affordable Care Act in order to pass the tax cuts. Or why wouldn't you do the tax cuts first? I mean, the tax cuts is a big deal. That's what so much was based, the stock market rise was based on future business.
Well,
and infrastructure. So
there's an article from Business Insider that's originally traced back to the world's largest hedge fund manager, Bridgewater. And the headline is, "The likelihood of significant Trump fiscal boost has diminished." We've been talking about that. I mean, this is no surprise, but when you can talk about things that are perhaps obvious, or maybe they're not obvious, maybe they're subtle, maybe they're hard to see, but you can talk about them. But they don't become politically viable until you begin to see significant people in the political structure and the economic structure, and they say, yeah, you know, you guys are right. They won't say you guys are right, but they will say the same thing and give us help to verify what we're talking about. Again, the likelihood of a significant Trump fiscal boost has diminished. Business Insider, the world's largest hedge fund manager is losing faith in the Trump bump. Bridgewater Associates co-CIO Greg Jensen and senior investment associate Atul Narayan laid out their reasoning in a client note on Wednesday morning. The client note is titled, "U.S. Growth Has Slowed, and the Likelihood of a Significant Trump Fiscal Boost Has Diminished." And what they're saying is, look, a lot of the reason that we've seen the markets go up and we've seen levels of confidence and optimism rise based on Trump's election, because Trump was going to cut taxes, going to end Obamacare, and I don't remember what else he promised. But those two things aren't. Oh, infrastructure. We're going to lay out $1 trillion worth of infrastructure. But those things are not happening right now. And they're not likely to happen until next year, if they ever happen. Right? And that means that all of this optimism and enthusiasm, and we've had a great pep rally on one hand, but we don't have any substance to support the expectations that we've enjoyed for the past, 6 months. The note says that investors are losing faith in all things that spurred the market rally in the wake of Donald Trump's election expectations. Expectations that spending and reform would boost economic growth and inflation. It's a view that's now creeping across Wall Street, pushing stocks lower. All right? You live by the confidence, you die by the confidence. There has to be some kind of reality. There has to be more than just optimism to support an economic system. We have to have some fundamentals that point in the direction of we are becoming more prosperous, more efficient, more productive. Got to be fundamentals that make that case, not just optimism, not just blind hope. Here's a couple of highlights from the note. Corporate statutory tax rate is likely to land somewhere around 25%, which would be down from the current 35%. They expect the border adjustment tax, as currently proposed, the odds of a border adjustment tax, which is what Trump has proposed on products coming into this country, essentially something like a tariff. As currently proposed, they think the odds are low. They don't think it's going to happen. Infrastructure spending will be slow and difficult to implement. Trade policy, recent Trump statements suggest a policy shift toward a more modest protectionist agenda. Trump is apparently being introduced to certain realities or political pressures in the White House where you know, the things he promised. Sooner or later, he's going to stand up and have to publicly admit they can't be delivered anywhere near as quickly as he had led people to suppose. And all of a sudden, we're all going to have to start behaving like adults and not just cheering. Hooray for our side. We're going to have lower taxes and less regulation or whatever. The government is something like a giant ship, and it does not turn on a dime. It has a certain amount of momentum, and even though you're the new captain and you can turn that wheel up there in the, I don't know, where you steer the ship, doesn't necessarily mean the ship is going to just spin around and go in a different direction. That ship is going to continue moving in the direction it was moving for some time before you're able to exert enough influence where you can slowly turn it to the left or turn it to the right. And I think Trump is learning that lesson.
Not only that, a lot of the programs that he wants to do, there's no money for him to do it.
I know.
And so, I mean, it's not even about turning the ship. It might even be slow. And I really didn't expect any of his big programs. I actually did think the tax cuts would be done this year. But some of these I don't think they're going to make them retroactive, though, either for 2017. But the thing of it is, there's just no money for a lot of the stuff that he wants to do.
I know. That's the problem we have.
You know, expectations were high. And without those tax cuts, there goes the jobs, because a lot of the job creation was going to come from the tax cuts. So we're not going to see any increases in jobs and in wages. So, you know, we're stuck. And if you go into next year, but if you go into the next year, you know, this economy is going to start showing just how bad it really is, and then he still won't be able to get these things done. So, the Affordable Care Act, it's a bad deal. How can they make a bad deal better? I mean, you basically would have to start from scratch. You just can't fix. You just can't go in and tweak it a little bit.
It wasn't promised that it would be tweaked. It was promised that it would be destroyed, essentially, and eliminated. And it's clearly that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. It's still ingrained.
Exactly, at least.
You get that type of a law ingrained in this, and you just can't repeal it.
Well, yeah, actually, you can. And
no,
maybe the
you
best
can't.
Thing we could do, maybe we really need to just sit back and say, look. We're in big trouble, and we've got to do something, all right? And that means we can't sit here and coddle everybody in the country and try to give them every benefit and entitlement.
Oh, I get that, Al. That should
maybe you've got to just rip the thing off like a bandage and get on with it. Get this thing and start dealing with the problem instead of pussyfooting around.
Oh, I get it. It shouldn't have happened to begin with. However, it is. It is what it is. And if you pull that Band-Aid off now, you will have the system that collapses. And so it's...
We're going to have a system that collapses.
Anyway, I get that. So,
right, just
so
a question
maybe,
of when. We have gone so far down the pipe, there's not going to be a comfortable way of getting out of this, although they might hold it together. I don't know how much longer they can hold it together. Could crack up at any time, or it could last another 5 years for all I know. I don't know how fast. Neither does anyone else, so far as I know.
But they're not going to do something to create the situation. You know, it's... You know, they're not going to, you know, repeal the Obamacare and let it collapse and say, you know, they're not going to be responsible for the collapse. They're going to want it to, they want it to do it on its own. But anyway, here's a quick, there's two things I want to touch on. You know, Bill O'Reilly, Fox News, I guess he's history.
Yep.
Amid all his sexual harassments and, you know, so, you know, the guy that covered for him, what was his name, Ailes?
I don't know.
He was canned, you know, during the campaign and so forth, among the same type of accusations and fines that have been paid and so forth. So,
the no harassment zone, Melody. It's not the no spin zone. It's the no harassment zone.
The sexual harassment zone. Yeah. So he's history. Construction of new U.S. homes dropped in March to its slowest pace in 4 months, with the pace of building falling sharply in the Midwest. The Commerce reported, this was actually reported yesterday, for the month of March, total housing starts fell 6.8% to a seasonally adjusted but annual rate of 1.2 million. Consensus forecasts had called for a drop of only 2.9%. Construction, single-family homes likewise sank 6.2%. And in the Midwest, single-family homes tumbled 35%. Tuesday's figures also suggested some home builders may be turning away from serving the rental market, with March seeing a 6.1% drop in the construction of buildings with five or more units. This is a second consecutive decline. So, things look a little tough. Things are beginning to get a little dull. And, just what we used to call a leaf in the breeze, right, Al? Two by four.
Well, we see leaves in the breeze, and we try to duck if we see any two by fours. We try to duck.
Yeah.
And that's hopefully what everybody else will do. I mean, sooner or later, it does seem that we're going to see some of those two by fours flying by your window. And hopefully, you've got some insurance to protect you against these two by fours. And again, you know what I'm going to say. The insurance, one of the policies that you can get is gold. Because the idea from our perspective is the dollar is in trouble. It has to be in trouble. The government can't pay the debt. In order to repudiate the debt, they must inflate the dollar. Right? It's the easiest way to inflate it without getting blamed for it. They go, oh my gosh, inflation makes the dollar worth less. When it does, it makes the debt worth less. It makes it actually easier to pay off the debt, or at least appear to pay off the debt. And what it is, what it constitutes is a default. If we're going to have those defaults, those of you who are holding on to those paper debt instruments are going to lose some of your assets. Those of you who are holding on to physical gold will keep your purchasing power. We're out of time. Want to thank you all. Be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.